This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a very good friend of mine who also happens to be a fantastic animal communicator and so much more. I will tell you all about him and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors. Hi, I'm Isabel Alvarez-Arada, the host of Covered in Pet Hair. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you could give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying and neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with an author, a writer, an animal communicator. He's a speaker, a radio host, a Reiki master, and a speaker. He's a finder of lost pets, the host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. He's originally from Indiana and now lives in Georgia. He is husband to Dear Kim, who I've never met in person but love very much, and dog dad to Dusty and Kramer. Again, I've never met them, but I feel like I know them. He has a kitty cat named E and is a rescue advocate and volunteer. He is the CEO of Wagging Tails. Tails as in the tails they tell, not the tails they wag, he says. He is Tim Link. Welcome back, Tim. He was my first guest on Covered in Pet Hair. It's great to have you back.
Yay, great to be back. It's always great to talk to you, talk about the latest and greatest things going on, and of course, just have a nice little drink and a little chat while we're at it.
Exactly. It's about time. I was in Savannah, but not close enough to go say hi recently, and it's always great to find out what's happening in the animal communication space, a space that I have never been good at. So that's why I keep you close, so that I can delegate that task to you and call upon you whenever I feel like I need a little extra connection with my pets, because I, for some reason, just can't quiet my mind long enough. But we're going to get into all of that, what animal communication is, who Tim Link is, if you are not familiar with him, which you should be. But before we do all that, I'm going to introduce our drinking game today. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game, anytime you hear this word,
the secret word is Dusty.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying, but please be over 21 in the U.S. to partake. Never drink and drive, and always drink responsibly. So I hear you're joining us with a libation today, Tim.
Absolutely. A little cocktail, you know, a little after-hour cocktail here.
Very nice.
It's good for the soul, so.
It is good for the soul. It is good for the soul. I actually made a little concoction for myself. This I've called a Queen Chamoy cocktail, which is a mix of chamoy, which is a very El Paso, very Mexican flavor. It's a sauce that we put in our desserts and our fruits. And then I just topped it with a little Corona Refresca, tropical punch, pineapple. So basically the chamoy is really viscous and dense. It falls at the bottom of my glass. And then it kind of mixes slowly in with the, I guess, hard seltzer, hard whatever that is. So cheers. Thank you for being on the show again.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right. Well, I already did a show with Tim. So if anybody wants to know how Tim got into animal communication, how he has grown his huge following around the world, and how he finds lost pets using that skill, you can go to my first episode ever on Pet Life Radio on YouTube and look up that show, which was super fun, a little spicy. It was really great show. It was one of my favorites to do. But today we're going to actually just catch up. And I want my audience to get to know you a little bit better than just like the small talk and the what do you do. So I'm going to invite you to play, Tim, a game called Curious Kitty. And so this Curious Kitty has some questions inside. And I'm just going to ask you three questions from Mr. Kitty's planter. The first one is, which movie character inspires you and why?
Inspires me? Oh my gosh. When you first said it, this is so sad. I was thinking that you were going to ask me what was the first one that popped in my mind. And it was Forrest Gump. And I'm like, oh my God, wait a minute. Then I'm thinking, okay, well, wait a minute. She mentioned Savannah. And that's where it was filmed. Forrest Gump was filmed in Savannah.
That's exactly right.
So maybe that's okay. I'll stick with Forrest Gump. You know, he overcame challenges, overcame people who thought he's a little different, was very successful. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I love that answer. That is exactly the level of answer I would have expected from you. Okay, this is a really good one, and I would love to hear what you have to say. If you could time travel, where would you go?
Oh boy, that's a good one. I love that. Too challenging there, I think. Where would I go? There's so many places to go. Okay, so I'll paraphrase this. I live a dog's life, okay? So we all have a past, we have a present, we have a future. And we know our dogs in particular, or animals in general, live in the present. So we allow them to live in the present moment to fulfill their purpose while they're here. They know they have a future to look forward to, and occasionally look back at the past, but mostly they focus on the present. So I probably wouldn't go too much of anywhere. I will say this. I'm coming up on my 38th anniversary with Kim. We've known each other for 45 years. We were two when we met. And that's my story. And so, I bet that first day, because there was nothing better. It is when you see the love of your life and you see him for the first time, it was like it happened yesterday. So that's where I'm going to go back to, because I love that day, and it's going to give me big kudos too when she hears this episode. So,
he's laying it on thick, Kim. He's laying it on thick. All right, last one. Describe the fanciest meal you've ever eaten.
Fanciest meal I've ever eaten. Oh my gosh. Well, I tell you the one that pops to my head the most. I've had several opportunities to visit the south of France. Beautiful place. So I went to Monaco and Nice and Cannes and all through the southern part of France. This was mostly in my older days in my business life, but I still had chances to enjoy it. And so we had at one of the meals, actually multiple meals, a filet of sea bass, salt-encrusted sea bass. So this is where they bring the full sea bass out, you know, skin and all, head and all. It's dead, you know, it's already been cooked. But they cook it all day long in this nice, thick, salted rock salt. And it seeps into the fish. And then they fillet it right there. And if you're a fish lover, you know, sorry vegetarians, but if you're a fish lover, there's nothing better. Because it's so flaky, you can't even pick it up with a fork. It's just so tender. And it's couple on the fact that you're in this, you know, southern part of France, you know, and you're overlooking the ocean and the bay, and you've got the yachts around you and all the beautiful people, and they let puppy dogs go around everywhere on their leash to every meal, and then you got the nice sea bass and cut, you know, nice glass of wine. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that was necessarily the fanciest, but it has to be right there at the top.
Well, that's really funny you should say that. My family and I go to Barcelona all the time, and we always go to the same restaurant, you know, because my family's from Spain. We always go to the same restaurant. We always have the same kind of dishes. And we always debate whether the food is really that good, or is it just the fact that you're like right on the Mediterranean, that it's comfortable because we already know it. And we know, you know, it's always so good. But is it really, would it be as good inside? Because they do have inside seating, and we refuse to sit inside in the same exact restaurant.
I tell you, when you go to the southern part of France or Barcelona, I've been to Barcelona, a beautiful place, lovely architecture, and you're right there, you're like you said, the scenery, you got to eat outside even if you have to put a jacket on. But I will say, being an American, dinner time is usually, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock maybe? If it's 8, that's, don't eat after 8 o'clock. Well, you know how it is in Spain. 10 o'clock's dinner time, you know. So if you sit down at 10 o'clock, you're actually there early. It's the early bird special at 10 p.m.
Yes, exactly. They love it. They love it. I actually threw a baby shower for my sister in Spain, and it started at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
The kitchen didn't open earlier. That was the earliest the kitchen opens.
Makes us hard on us Americans. We think
we
had
it. I was ready for my after dinner drink in my bed. When we first sat down. All right. Well, how have things been since you and I last spoke? The last time you and I spoke was recently, but the last time you were on the show was December of 2020. So how has life been? What have you been up to?
Well, personally, things have been going, great. Everything's wonderful. The puppies are fine. The kitty cat's fine. My mother-in-law is having some challenges with Alzheimer's, so we moved her closer to home so we could take care of her and run her back and forth to doctor's appointments. So life's been a little busier, I will say, from a personal standpoint, but it's been all good, happy, healthy. So business-wise, it's been real interesting. So you mentioned, 2020, you're talking about the pandemic years and what's happened during that time and what happened and after that. And we hear the stories, and they're very true, that during that time of COVID and lockdown, people were looking for things to do. And those that have always wanted to have an animal in their life or two had that opportunity to bring them into their families. And it's real interesting just from a local standpoint, because the community I live in has about 80 homes. And most of them have sort of an Eastern Asian culture here. There's very few that aren't those type of families. And their tradition typically has been not to have animals in their homes. Well, that's all changed. We see so many people, even today, even after the pandemic, where they've gotten dogs and multiple dogs and are walking up through the neighborhood and taking photos with them. So from that standpoint, I think it's really opened it up. And we hear the stories about, after the pandemic, people were starting to return their animals or release their animals, these type of things. From my standpoint and from my business at Wagging Tails, I haven't seen that at all. I've seen them become more, not only having animals into their lives now, but becoming more interested in what are they all about? What are they thinking? Doing Reiki is big. It's really a growing part of what I do, because I've been a Reiki master for almost 20 years now, and it's always been a part of what I do for the animals. But over the past, I'd say two, three years, it's gotten more intense, because you're talking about Reiki is a healing modality. So it works on a physical and emotional and a mental level to help your animals have a better quality of life and possibly, increase their livelihood. So that part of it has grown. So I think overall, from the business standpoint and from working with the animals, it hasn't changed a whole lot. I think people are actually still realizing the value of having an animal in their life and the quality, and they want the best for their animals.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great news. I'm happy to hear that, because obviously you hear so many things. And I think that really, if anything's impacting people being able to keep their pets, it's really the inflation rates and the cost of living going up, more so than people kind of being, it's being said that people just they didn't think about what life was going to look like after the pandemic. They didn't plan. They didn't make, they didn't know. They weren't realistic. But I think we're always blaming pet parents, when really it's just the fact that having a pet has always been a luxury, and it's getting much more difficult to have pets, to care for pets, to provide the veterinary care that they need, et cetera, et cetera. So it's making it so that only really the affluent can afford it. So I'm happy to hear that you're seeing more cultures embracing it. You're seeing better pet parenting happening. I'm in Texas, where I wish that was the case, but I feel like from our leadership down, that is not the case, unfortunately. But that's a conversation for another time.
Oh, that's a whole new conversation. We're talking about that. I've been working with animals for almost 20 years on a professional level, and of course, always had animals in my life. And I've seen the quality, everything from food to medication to supplements to even toys that we give our animals. The quality has gotten so much better over the years. And the trend I have seen is, yes, we may not buy our dog or our cat or whatever animal we have as many toys during the inflationary times or what we view as being hard times. But the quality of food and what we're doing for veterinarian care has actually gotten better. And
it's
we're still spending the money on their animals and actually spending, my mother-in-law always says, when I leave this world and come back, I want to come back as one of your animals because they eat extremely well. They have the best life, the best cushions. And I think that's very true. We spend a lot of, we don't hesitate to take care of our animals in most cases.
Exactly. Exactly. And I will say that people are getting more education on what animals really need. And as cute as that little toy might be, $25 might go better elsewhere. You know, it might be better used elsewhere. So I do think people are getting more educated, which is always fantastic. Have you seen more interest in, you mentioned Reiki, but have you seen more interest in animal communication since the pandemic?
Well, I think we've seen it grow exponentially, we'll say, over the years. And, you know, as I mentioned, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. There are some that have been doing it longer than I have. I see a greater influx of people that are learning animal communication or choosing it as a profession or as a sort of a, lack of a better word, just, I don't say a side gig, but, you know, part of what their offerings are for animals. So I see it, the interest increasing and the understanding in the training and the workshops and the material and the articles, all those things are getting better and better and more prevalent so people can better understand it. I also think it's, you know, when we're talking about an acceptance level, when I first started, it was relatively new and people were still trying to figure out what it was all about and is it real and how does it work and these type of things. And some didn't care. They were, you know, at their wit's end and didn't know what to do, whether their dog was having, for instance, an emotional, physical, or medical challenge or a missing animal. What do you do? And now I've seen it more, turn full circle, perhaps because I've been doing this so long and I've been blessed with being well-recognized in my field. I've seen people immediately know what to do and don't hesitate to contact me if they've got an issue. And so it's been good from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's amazing. I will always say that you were the first person I ever experienced animal communication with. I found you through my then business partner, Beth, who found you because she had a cat go missing. And I was trying to be a supportive friend and business partner and kind of went on that journey with her. And she told me about this guy that was recommended to her that lived in Georgia and was going to give her a map of where her cat might be. And I was like wide-eyed and confused and supportive nonetheless. And then everything you said about where Simon was super on point and very accurate. And thankfully, Simon came home not very shortly thereafter. And then I had a very big decision to make with my Titan and my socks. I'm sure you remember.
Something.
I was leaving the area and I was having to take my dogs with me. But the only challenge was that I had been sharing them with an ex. I had primary custody, so I was legally allowed to take them. But there was a part of me that felt guilty because my ex was trying to make me leave them. He really didn't want to say goodbye to his pets. Who can blame him? But I was moving with my now husband, Chris, to Louisiana. And I was so torn because I really wanted to do what was best for the pets. And I couldn't ask them. So Beth was like, you can ask them. Tim can help you ask them. And what was really special about that experience is that you had no idea what my predicament was, who I was, where I was. You had no idea. You knew the pets' names and you had a picture of them that I emailed to you. And the first thing you asked me was, who would you like to start with? And I kind of was thinking about it. And you said, you know, it seems like Titan is really, I guess, anxious to speak, or he's like ready to speak. So let's go with Titan. And I was like, okay. And he says, I want to go. And you asked me, is he waiting for a dog walk or is he like, you know, going somewhere? Like he keeps telling me, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. And it was 10 a.m. He was not waiting for a dog walk. And I knew immediately exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to go to Louisiana with me. And that did not surprise me at all because he was my dog. He was my soul dog. I was his everything and he was mine. And then it became, so what does Socks want to do? Because we could potentially separate them if need be. And you clarified what I already believed, that Socks just wanted to be with Titan. And wherever Titan was, she was going to be happy. And so that was one of the most wonderful moments of clarity of my life, because not only did I already feel that way, but it confirmed that the decision I was already making or had already made was the right one for everybody. And thankfully, my ex still was in touch and I send him pictures and stuff. So it turned out fantastic. And I thank you for that, because that was such a really hard decision to make, and one that I don't think would have otherwise been solved, or would I have found a resolution. I feel like there was no other way than through animal communication that I could have gotten that clarity. Would you agree? Is there something I missed?
I appreciate it. First of all, I appreciate that. I love hearing the story. And, you know, I love hearing all the stories. You know, I've been doing this for, as I said, almost 20 years now, and people still reference back to the first time that I've helped them out with a situation or helped them find an animal, or reference back to, you know, an article or a book or something that I've written. Even today, a material that I put out, you know, 15, 16 years ago, people are re-referencing. And to me, that means a lot, because that means it stays with them and they understand it and they get it, and it's helped them. And that's the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
But I think that's really where animal communication comes into helping people out. No matter what the situation is, if you have an animal of any sort, if you're facing some sort of a physical, emotional, or mental challenge with them, if you have challenges yourself, things you're going through, life experiences, routine changes, job changes, whatever, health changes, whatever it may be, you're looking for some clarity and you're looking for some ways to make sure you're doing the right things for your animals, and also to make sure that you're doing the right thing for yourself and for your family. And
yes.
So there's really no small thing that you can ask. You know, there's no big problems, no small problems. They're all challenges we face in our animal space. And we're, you know, my role is to basically work as a conduit between you and the animal, and then come up with some suggestions and solutions that they may be able to help the both of you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you helped us again when we did move to Louisiana and we blended Chris's two dogs and my two dogs. And you kind of told us that things that we already knew, in the sense, but we didn't realize just how much they were impacting our pets. I think that's another thing where people are like, I already know this, but like, are you really putting them into practice? Maybe you need somebody to remind you. And that's something that happens every time that you and I speak. You remind me of something that maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to, like my energy when they're together. Mind your energy, speak to them, tell them what's going to happen, what you need from them, and why it's a good thing, right?
Yay!
Bravo.
Yes, exactly. Speak to them. And it's funny because I give that advice to my friends and followers now, and people look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, tell them what's going to happen. Tell them what you need from them and tell them why it's a good thing, because that will help. That will help. And people are skeptical until those kinds of things really work. And I couldn't obviously be more grateful to you. You also help pet parents making those really tough end-of-life decisions, and even communicating after the pet has passed. Can you briefly tell us how that works?
Yeah, basically, you know, when you talked earlier about energy, our energy, and we have a heart connection with our animals, and with that heart connection, they can feel our energy and we can feel theirs. The challenge is with humans, as you said, these are things we know, but we don't practice them, or we don't slow down enough to be able to connect with our animals and really feel that energy and feel what they're feeling. They're more in tune with us, and they allow that to happen. And so when our energy shifts and when we have something going on, they're going to feel it. So they're great barometers from that standpoint. And so when that time comes when the animal is going to make their transition, you know, we're trying to decide when that's going to be and how that's going to be and what do we want. And I always tell people that, first of all, let your animals know. Let your animals know that if you have a preference, then if you want to be there, for instance, while they make their transition, let them know that. Because animals will do everything they can to honor that and to stay within their body until that time comes when we can help them transition or be there for them. If you don't let them know, then they believe it's easier for them to make that transition when we're not here, when we're not around. You know, it's like the old Disney old Yeller, you know, going off to die. Well, they may physically go off to make their transition, but more than likely they'll wait for a portal where you go to work or you're on vacation or you're, you know, even step away from the house to make that. So first of all, let them know. Let them know what you want and connect with them to feel what they want. And then after the transition, the connection is basically still an energetic connection that, you know, our animals become, they're made of pure energy and call it souls, essences, however you want to label it. They are attached via their body, via a golden cord. So if you visualize a golden cord, and that golden cord severs and they go out through their crown chakra. You know, I don't get too off on this, but they go out through the crown chakra and they go up to what I call the heavenly space of love. Now, that's often referred in animal talk as the rainbow bridge. Some will refer to it as heaven. Whatever it is, we all go back to source. We all select a body. We try our best to fulfill our purpose every single day. And when that body no longer serves us or we've served our purpose, then we release and we go back up into source. And at that point, they're no longer tethered to that body, but they're still free to come around. So they're really, at that point, becoming our furry, feathered, fin friends, you know, and angels that we can call upon and to be there for us and to feel them around us. The challenge with humans is we tend to doubt ourselves. We tend to beat ourselves up constantly, especially once an animal has passed, no matter how they've made their transition. We always wonder, did we do enough? Did we do too much? Did we keep them around too long? Did we release them too soon? Me being there during their transition, was that good for them or not? Or taking them to their veterinarian and helping them transition, is that a good thing? So we really have a lot of doubt and a lot of things we beat ourselves up over. And our animals want us, in virtually every case, you know, they want to let us know that it's okay. You know, they understood. They understand what it's all about and that body wasn't going to serve them or they were done with their purpose and they're okay with it. And all we have to do to be able to feel them around, see them around, hear them again, is to calm our mind, breathe, open our hearts, and allow it to flow. And then when you do get those messages back from them in whatever fashion it is, trust what you're receiving. We often try to force it and try to think that we're going to see them in a certain way or feel them in a certain way or hear them again. But if you don't force it and allow it to flow, then that message will come through and they'll be around.
That's awesome. I love that because it's a little past the anniversary of Titan's passing and I would love to check in with him. I would love to, now that I'm far enough away from that experience, kind of see how he's doing and if there was anything he wants me to know about his life with me and his transition and what we did and did not do. I don't have any guilt on that because I really was very pragmatic about, you know, making sure that he didn't suffer. So I'd rather he go too soon than too late. But I don't know, like, I feel like even then, maybe it was too late from his perspective. So I don't think that our pets Monday morning quarterback us though, right? Like they're not going to tell us anything like, I wish you had done X, Y, Z.
Right. Well, that for animals to come back and do that, they'd have to turn into humans. Now, I'm not talking about reincarnating.
Touche.
But these are all ego-driven things. You know, all the things we feel that, did they do it out of spite? Are they angry at me? Do they hate me now? These type of things. These are all ego-driven energies, and only the humans revolve around that ego-driven energy. Animals don't. They're pure energy, and they understand things and accept things much better than we do. So they don't deal with those, you know, negative energies and ego energies. I always tell people all the time that when you're trying to teach and train and talk to your animals, stay away from negative energy words. And these are words like no, not, stop, don't, quit, you know, yell, scream, these things. You're projecting negative energy at them. And we know that, you know, if you yell at your dog, they may cower or leave the room. 2 minutes later, they come back because they've deflected that negative energy. But if you constantly bombard it with them, then they get dis-ease within their body. And that starts causing, you know, physical, emotional, mental challenges with them. So even once they've made their transition out of their present body and they're in that space, that heavenly space of love, and they're able to come back and forth, they're not going to come back and tell you that you did something wrong, you know, because you did everything. You know, if you love them and you did what you to respect them, then, you know, they're going to let you know that, hey, everything's well. Everything's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they still love us, and that no matter what we do, their love for us is always unconditional to a fault, honestly, many of the time. So I need to take a break here. But speaking of negative energy, we're going to come back and speak about social media animal communicators and what pet parents might be falling for that maybe they shouldn't be. And that's just my opinion. I'm not putting words in Tim's mouth just yet. All right. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back with Tim Link of Wagging Tails.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. Gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's cfacatexpo.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I'm having a great conversation about animal communication and our pets and how much they love us and how much we love them with Tim Link, who is the CEO of Wagging Tails. He's a world-renowned animal communicator, a world-renowned Reiki master. He is the host of the Animal Rights Podcast on Pet Life Radio. He is the go-to guy when a pet is lost and somebody wants to use some other layer of support to find their pet. Even farm animals, as far as I remember, that donkey was gone when we interviewed last time. Did that donkey ever come home, Tim?
We did get the donkey back. We did get the donkey back. And, we always think of animals as our domesticated animals. And even with that nowadays, you know, it's not necessarily your dog or your cat or your horse even. Especially with our young children and young adults, they prefer, spiders and snakes and bearded dragons and all these exotics. So we have to be able to communicate with them as well. And then, of course, I work with wildlife sanctuaries, zoos, farms, aquariums,
so
these type
cool.
of things. So, yes, we got the donkey back. And let's see what else we've gotten back. This just off the top of my head. I remember a lost monkey. We got a monkey back, which was really cool. Several horses have gotten loose, and one that was stolen, and we actually tracked it down and reunited it with its owner, which is always cool, too.
Yeah.
But I've got calls. You know, I every time I think I've covered about every animal you could think of, somebody contacts me for something else, because I can recall pet squirrels and pet raccoons and pet possums, and, you know, I have to, like, okay, let's check this out. Is this real? Somebody pulling my leg again? What's going on? No. They've had one, you know, since they raised it from a small baby and raised it up, and it's their pet. And now it's gone missing, or it's in a place, you know, stuck somewhere. One I remember was stuck in a shed and it couldn't get out. There were no openings. And so we got it out of the shed. But everything you could think of, virtually everything you could think of, I've worked with, and they all communicate in the same fashion. So if we open ourselves up to it, open our hearts and open our minds to it and accept what they're willing to share with us, yeah, we can,
help you, you get words or pictures or both?
Yeah, I get a little bit of everything. It's whatever the animal wants to share with me. They're just like humans, you know, some like me are very talkative and, you know, rolling my hands everywhere, and some are more subdued. Some will, communicate with me in a fashion they feel that me, as, you know, a mere human, could possibly understand what they're talking about. But yeah, in those early days, you know, it was a couple of words, maybe a visualization, a mind's eye, a picture of what's around them. And now it's gotten to the point where words, colors, pictures, emotions, smells, tastes.
Wow.
So I've had those. Yeah. The taste ones are always fun. You know.
I remember you telling me that socks was like gassy, that you felt like bloated. That was so interesting because we started giving her Slippery Elm from your recommendation. It's the first time I even heard of Slippery Elm. This was ages ago. And all of a sudden, she had more pep in her step. And I was like, Tim, really? And I'm sorry that she made you feel like bloated and uncomfortable. But thank you for letting us know about that.
Yeah, exactly. Not a problem. Well, and, you know, that's the interesting thing about it. When I first started doing this, you know, I remember the late Judy Byers was sort of my mentor in the early days. And when I first sort of uncovered this ability to be able to connect with animals at this deep level, I contacted Judy right away and said, Judy, you know, if it's going to be like this, I don't want to get it out of me. Take it away. She said, oh, hon, it doesn't work that way, you know, but I can teach you how to sort of turn it on and turn it off and how not to, you know, feel the emotions and feel the things that they're feeling when you need to. And then how do you clear yourself and how do you release that afterwards? So needless to say, I haven't carried around all that gas all these years. So we're happy about it.
Hallelujah, poor Kim.
Yes.
All right. Well, I obviously want to play another game with you because that's just how I do. And I remember at some point in one of our many conversations, you said that somebody maybe made you feel like they thought you were a charlatan when you first started.
Yeah, one of my good friends. One of my best friends now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember you saying that. And I remember it being like, I'm sure this happens a lot because there's so many skeptics out there. But then there are also the other side. There's the other side of the coin where people are kind of gullible. So I'm going to invite you to play a game I called Charla TikTok. So all the charlatans or not on TikToks are out there, you know, reading pets. They're, you know, doing lives and just telling people to comment. And because of the experience I've had working with you, I feel like I'm not convinced that that is possible, doable. Maybe they're just extra super duper special. Maybe their gift shows up in a different way. I'm not the expert in this field. You are. So I'm going to invite you to play this game again. It's called Charla TikTok. And I want to know if any of this has legs. So the first question I have for you, Tim, is can someone really read a pet via social media?
Well, yeah, I believe they can, you know, and I think one of the things I'm gonna throw out there, and maybe this is just me or from doing this for so long, when people contact me and say, can you do a reading? You know, the word read, you know, that is one of those negative connotation words. You know, I don't have any problem with it, but it sends out you're already questioning it right away. So can you communicate? Can you connect? Can you actually have a conversation with my animal? And I know from my standpoint, you know, there's been plenty of times where I've had communications via video, via radio shows, via pictures, obviously is what I do mostly. So I think they can, and you can definitely do live readings. I've done most of my live readings in person, so I haven't done a TikTok video reading, but I don't see why you can't. Now, how they go about doing it, you know, I don't know. I will say, and maybe I'm just an old soul, maybe I just know better to not delve into social media too much. I don't know, but I don't know if I've ever seen a TikTok singing dancing animal communicator. I don't know about that one.
I haven't either. And the thing is, the only thing I've ever seen is on Instagram. I have seen people comment the name of the pet and whether they're alive or at the Rainbow Bridge. Like that is all that they have had. That these animal communicators have requested. I know these animal communicators, so I know that they're legit. But like on TikTok, it's just like so fast that I don't know that there's any way that somebody could even like tap into that pet just based on like a name or something. So maybe I'm the skeptic here. I don't know. Do you worry that people are capitalizing on something that is legit, but just being like, oh, I just have to pretend that Fluffy has gas and like now I'm going to make like $5 off that? And like, if I do enough of them, I'll make $2,000 today or what?
I will say it's the great America way, you know? We're always here to make a buck in these things. No, not for me, though. I mean, will there be scams? Will there be charlatans? Will there be people that say they have a gift? Will there be people that try to capitalize on it in a way that they perhaps shouldn't? Absolutely. On the flip side, are they capitalizing in a way that is new? Something I don't do. Maybe I'm missing the boat. Maybe, you know, I've got meditation albums, recordings, digital downloads, whatever the kids call it nowadays, that you can purchase via TikTok and use it as your background music. So if you want to be the animal communicator that uses my meditation music instead of using Taylor Swift or whoever's hip nowadays, Taylor rules the world, so I guess it's her, then yeah, you can do that. So I guess, you know, from that standpoint, my toe is in the TikTok arena.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, you're like, all right, let's partner. You know, let's sell my meditation. How can pet parents protect themselves for real, though? Like, because it's not just on TikTok. I mean, anybody can set up a website that says, I'm an animal communicator. I'm surprised that there haven't been any, like, you know, send me $100 and we'll read tomorrow and then, or read tomorrow and then, you know, nobody shows up. I haven't heard of any scams like that, but I'm sure they're out there and I'm sure more to come. So how can pet parents, who obviously, like you said, are vulnerable when they're seeking out, in many cases, these types of services, how can they protect themselves?
Yeah, I think that my suggestions are always do your research. It's with anything else in life. You've got to do your research, find out who's on there. So go on the internet, type in the name of the communicator, read some of their articles, watch some of their videos, see if, you know, if they've been on television shows and radio shows, these type of things, and see how long they've been doing this. See what other animal communicators say about them. I probably, there's a good number. I probably 30, 40 different animal communicators out there that refer all their lost animal cases to me, because that's right. What I'm best known for, and I've been doing it for so long, and it's a tough and challenging part of the business, but I've had a great deal of success at it. So you look for those things. So you do your research. If you're into videos, you can go to YouTube and check out some of the videos. I'm all over that place on YouTube. And these are all actually interviews that I've been on, like this one. Not necessarily anything I've posted out there. I think there may be one that just tells people about what animal communication is about. And then at the end of the day, after you've done all your research, you have to see what resonates with you. There's usually one, you know, you'll find someone that's like, wow, that hit home. How you present yourself in that video is amazing. I can see that you're honest. I see your background, what you've done over the years and how you've helped people, how many, you know, media outlets that have written articles about you and the success you've had. And then go right from there. And I think the key thing is, you know, we do this to help the animals out and help their human companions out, but it is a business. And so like with any business, you've got to really do your research before you delve into it. And if you're looking for a cheap, quick, easy way, then it's my suggestion is look for something else.
Yeah, just go dance and get clicked. Leave the pets out of it. Is there any kind of organization, you know, in the pet sitting industry, the dog training industry, we have organizations that kind of set standards for the services that we provide. Does that exist in animal communication?
Yeah, it's gotten better over the years. It really has. I mean, the early days, animaltalk.net is one location you can go to. And a lot of the animal communicators that have been doing this for a while and are successful are on animaltalk.net. One that's come up fairly recently that seems to be doing well that I've been asked to be on is PetWorks. PetWorks is another one you can do some research, and they have communicators, healers, everything from Reiki masters to dog training. You know, they get a whole host of people there. So I'd say that would be it. And then when you're talking about, you know, healing modalities and Reiki, I'm a member of the International Reiki Association, and Sarah, which does a lot of work with rescue animals and helping them heal through Reiki. So there are professional organizations, and that's where you do your search as well. But I think if you have a communicator, if you know the name of the communicator and or their business, and you do go to your internet search engine and pull it up, you're going to find a plethora of things. You're going to know the ones that have been out there doing it for a while and really treat this as a professional and honest type of situation.
Absolutely. And I will say you're a lot, probably, because I know you, more pragmatic than I am. But when I'm in distress, I feel like I could fall prey to these things just because of the impulsivity of it, right? Like, I need some answers right now, and I'll take whatever answer I get. But the problem with that is that that answer could really hurt you, and it could really break your heart, and it could be exactly the opposite of what you need to hear at the moment. So if nothing else, not because of your money, but because of your heart and your connection with your pet, be picky, be choosy, really take your time and do your research, like Tim said, because I would hate to hear that somebody has a terrible experience with an animal communicator and, you know, beats up themselves up for the rest of their life because of decisions that they made based on that reading, right? And I'm using air quotes on the reading.
Exactly.
All right, so my last question for you is, you mentioned the meditations, and I have taken your courses where you teach people how to communicate with their animals. Where, if somebody's interested in doing that, where they get rid of the middleman, no offense, middleman, but they want to learn how to do it themselves. This is a skill that they suspect they might be good at, and they want to kind of expand on that. What would you recommend? Where do they start?
Well, the resources I mentioned before is a good way to start. And obviously, there most of the animal communicators like myself teach workshops or have audio workshops or video workshops available that you can purchase. I have a 4-part audio workshop that includes meditations and allows you to download it and listen to it at home and practice it and go at your own pace until you feel really comfortable. And I think it's important from that standpoint also. When I've taught workshops in the past, there have been people that have attended that all they were interested in is getting a little certificate of completion. And it's just a certificate of completion. I'm not able at that point to say, you're a certified animal communicator, but they use that as their and even with me, when I first sort of uncovered the gift, I had to work with it for about 3 years, working with my own animals, friends' animals, part of our church ministry, animal healing ministry, part of a humane society, and being a president of a humane society. So I got to the point where I believed everything I was receiving, knew how to do it, how to connect, and how to be able to communicate with the animals and get that message out there. So even with the workshops, you can't do it overnight. But start with the workshops. Read the material. Do these things. Meditation is a big part of it. And when I talk about meditation, the meditation audios that I have out, Relax the Mind and Body Meditation and the Guided Meditation Communicating with Animals, they're guided meditations. So I have the music and I have my voice, and I'm guiding you through the process of how to open, clear, and receive what's out there. But guided meditations may or may not be the route you want to go. And I think the misconception on meditation is people think it has to be something formal. You have to do chants and mantras, and you've got to sit in the lotus position, and that's not the case. I've had the pleasure of sitting with Tibetan monks and going through a full meditation with them. And I will say they can go for hours. I lasted a half an hour and then realized my butt was going numb inside it. That's probably not the meditation for me, but thanks for the honor of sitting with you. But, meditation is anything that allows your conscious mind to shut off and allows your subconscious to open up and allows things to flow through, the animals to communicate, your great epiphanies, the messages you receive. So this could be hiking, which I know you and your family like doing. So going on a hike clears your mind and allows that subconscious to open up. Gardening, listening to music, taking those walks in nature, anything that allows you to shut it off for a while and receive everything else positive that's coming through. And so the guided meditations I have are important, because if you're going to communicate with the animals at a real deep level, you have to, once again, clear your mind, open your heart, breathe, and allow things to flow through. And meditation is a great way to do that.
And where can we get these meditations and pretty much anything? Like, I am lucky to have a book that you signed for me and for Titan and Socks.
Yay,
very long time ago. But where can people learn more about everything that you offer? You have so many things in the time that you've been doing this. You've amassed such a great collection of resources.
Thank you. Well, you can go to my website, which is wagging-tails.com. So TALES.com. The tails they tail, not the tails they wag, as you said. But you can find out all the information. I've got the books and the audiobooks and everything on there where you can order them, where you can get them, and all the articles and all the media stuff that I've appeared on. We have had the Relax the Mind and Body Meditation and the Guided Meditation Communicating with Animals has just been recently re-released, and now it's available at about 40 distribution points out there that you can purchase and download or listen to. So places like, you know, Spotify and Napster, Pandora, you can listen to it on TikTok, like I mentioned, YouTube Music. So it's
very
out there.
Cool.
It's your favorite digital download. The albums are available, so that's cool.
Perfect. I'm going to do that. You know what I was thinking when you were talking about walking? I was like, maybe I need to put on your meditation and try to connect with Kira while we walk together and see if that makes her more comfortable with communication, because she's always been the one that was like, I'm good. It's all good.
It will definitely calm you down and it will open you up and you'll be amazed at what you receive. So that's a good way to go about doing it.
Yeah, that's a really good resource.
Are out there. Yeah. So meditations are out there. And then you talk about Wagging Tails, the book. It's in print version, still available at fine bookstores and online. Ebook is available as well. And then we re-released once again the audiobook. And so the audiobook's available at almost 40 different distribution points there as well. So you can get it at places like Spotify, Audible, of course, is available, audiobooks.com. Some people like Chirp. You know, a lot of people go to their library to download these audiobooks. And so it's available at most libraries nowadays. So it's a good way. The Wagging Tails book is stories, fun, interesting stories of when I first started doing this. Lots happened and changed since then. But it's real interesting. I had a client today that contacted me and said, the reason I'm contacting you, I've got a lost cat that I need your help with. But what led me to you was I got your audiobook, Wagging Tails, and I heard the story about Madison in the Bronx, which Madison was one of the first, if it was the actually first animal that I helped find, who was a cat who jumped out of the fourth story building of an apartment building in the Bronx, New York, and went on a little journey. And we got Madison back to the place where her mom would be waiting. I told her mom where to wait and what time to wait.
Wow.
Very best. It can't always happen this way, but we'll do our very best to have Madison come back. And lo and behold, Madison comes strolling back after 3 weeks of being out on a little exploration. So,
goodness.
Yeah, really cool. So, yeah, the audiobook is out there on that. And, you know, it's based on the book that was released, 2009. So it's really exciting. So, yeah. And so keep an eye on
I met you about 2015 is when I met you. 2015 is when I met you. And I remember.
Yeah, Talking with Dogs and Cats book, which is another one that's out there on in print in an ebook and soon to be in audiobook form. So we're working on that as well. So yeah, keep track of me, what's going on. You can always go to the Wagging Tails site on Facebook, and that's where I post most of my media, my TV and radio appearances, and then anything we do with the new releases of new material as well as re-releases of previous material will release it and announce it at those locations.
And do you read the books?
Do I read the books? My own books?
The audiobook. Are you it's your voice?
I am the narrator. What more smooth sounds to hear than my voice in the narration?
Okay, I'm going to have to download them just to listen. I can't wait, because I feel like that would be so much better than what it's your personal story, so I feel like that's always great when I could hear the narrator be the actual person who experienced what I'm listening to.
Thank you. Well, I'm a talker, as you know, and of course, I've hosted the hosted radio shows in the past. I've had syndicated radio shows, and then the Animal Rights Show has been on for good God, 12, 13 years now.
Wow.
So, episodes in that. So yeah, I do the narrations, and I know the material better than anybody. And
exactly.
Yeah, when you write something, how it is when you're writing it. If you write an article or a book or whatever it may be, and you publish it, and then 10 years later or 5 years later, you go back, you have to reread it again to make sure that's what that story was about. Or, oh yeah, and then your reading skills, talking like we are here, much different than sitting there reading a book and reading it out loud.
Yes, and not automatically changing the word, reading it verbatim. Yes, I can only imagine, because you're the author. That must be really challenging. So last question, just because I have to have this question answered to me. The stereotypes that we have of dogs and cats, that dogs are man's best friend, eager to please, blah, blah, blah. And that cats are standoffish and would eat us if we died in our, you know what I mean, 3 days later. You know, like those two extreme stereotypes that we have for cats and dogs. Since you've spoken to them directly, how accurate are these stereotypes?
Well, and you forgot the most common stereotype. Dogs are boys and cats are girls.
I have a... My cat is so offended by that.
I know.
My cat is like, I am men.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I will admit my, and I'll blame this on my wife because it's absolutely true. She is a daily Starbucks run, and I'm the one that usually goes gets it unless she has the time available. So she's got to get her, you know, a grande frappuccino, non-fat, no whip, 4 pumps mocha every day. And I have my little schnauzer, my little white dusty girl, my little 10-pounder. And she's sitting in a tethered seat right beside me because she sits in the front, mom sits in the back. And she's got this lovely pink collar on. And even the people at Starbucks that have seen us every day, you know, I'm almost like Norm from Cheers. When I walk in or drive up, it's like, and they already know what we're going to order. So it's not a problem. They still call Dusty a boy. And it's not and it's not because Dusty can sort of go either way, boy, girl, you know, type of thing. No. And they see the pink collar. And she's pretty princess.
She is such a pretty princess. She screams, I'm a little princess everywhere she goes. How is this possible?
Absolutely.
Is it true? Is it true? Like, are we misappropriating these personalities to these species? Like, you tell us, because you've had one-on-one conversations with them.
Yeah. Well, animals are just like us. They're their own unique personality. So each one is different. You know, certain breeds, certain you know types of animals will have certain characteristics which will blend over. But you can have two dogs, for instance, in the same litter, and they're night and day, totally different. And that's the case. So yeah, you know, I've seen dogs that love their male companion, you know, the best, and then the opposite way around. I will say, in this household, we've got two schnauzers. Dusty, the little girl, and Kramer, the boy, and they both love daddy like you wouldn't believe. But Dusty's my girl, and Kramer is mama's boy. He won't even go to Starbucks with me most of the time unless Kim's on board with it. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, he's mama's boy. So yeah, I think, like always, us humans get it wrong, and we have to open ourselves up and realize that they're their own unique personality.
Exactly. So cats are not vicious planning our murder, and dogs are not just, you shouldn't let your dog babysit your baby, right?
No. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
All right, guys. Well, I just want to propose a toast to you for always bringing such a wonderful topic for conversation. I love that I have this friend who I can ask all these crazy questions to. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
I also want to propose a toast to our mutual friend and executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark, for letting us do this.
Absolutely.
And also to my audience and to Tim's audience, who I'm sure is going to tune in. Thank you so much for joining us for these conversations. It is a pleasure to bring these to you. I have so much fun. I hope you have as much fun as we do chatting. Here is to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers.
Cheers.
To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching, and don't forget to review on all the podcasting platforms so this amazing conversation, this fun topic, can reach more pet parents just like you. I will see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.